Welcome to HN Pod, the daily podcast where we dive into the top trending stories on Hacker News. I am Sarah.
And I am Mike. Today is Wednesday, August 26, 2026, which means we are covering the top stories from yesterday, August 25. And Sarah, this is a big one, episode 499. We are just one away from the big 500.
I know, I can hardly believe it. We have a packed show today for episode 499. We are talking about the sad passing of an absolute legend, Dolly Parton. We also have Apple dropping some massive hardware announcements with the new M6 and M5 Ultra chips. Then we will discuss the end of the line for Knitter and X-Cancel. And finally, we will look at a beautifully written short story that had the whole Hacker News community completely fooled.
Let us start with the news that really took over the front page yesterday. Dolly Parton has died at the age of 80 after a brief battle with cancer. This one hit hard, Sarah. With over 1,300 points, it was the top story by a mile.
It really did hit hard. Dolly was one of those rare figures who completely transcended her genre. Even on a tech-focused site like Hacker News, the outpouring of respect was incredible. The article from The Guardian highlights her unbelievable career. She wrote Jolene and I Will Always Love You in a single day. And of course, her philanthropy is legendary.
Yes, the Imagination Library. A commenter named About Plants pointed out that she gifted over 318 million free books to children worldwide. Another commenter mentioned how their daughter loves getting those books in the mail with her little name printed on them. It's such a tangible, positive impact on child literacy.
And there was a fascinating discussion about her musical chops, which I loved. A user named Jihad Jihad brought up this famous YouTube video where someone slowed down the song Jolene to 33 RPM. If you haven't heard it, it is hauntingly beautiful. The clarity of her vocals and the vibrato at that slower tempo really showcase her technical skill as a singer.
And her guitar work, too. There was a great thread about the guitar lick on Jolene. Dolly actually wrote that lick herself, but because of her famous long acrylic fingernails, she could not always nail it consistently in the studio, so she had a session player named Chip Young weigh it down for the record. She actually used open tunings when she played guitar, so she could play with those nails.
That is such a hacker mindset, honestly. Finding a clever workaround for a physical hardware limitation, which in her case were her fingernails. Another theme in the comments was about her wealth and how she managed it. A user named Johnny and Mac called her the go-to example of what billionaires should be doing with their money. Though, ironically, she was not a billionaire because she gave so much of it away. She was worth around $450 million. Someone else pointed out she was directly responsible for about 20,000 jobs across entertainment and hospitality. It is a beautiful, positive legacy to leave behind.
It really is. Transitioning from a country music legend to Silicon, Apple had a massive day yesterday. We had two huge stories on the front page about their new hardware. First, the introduction of the M6 and M5 Ultra chips, and second, the new Mac Studio featuring those chips.
Apple is really pushing the envelope here. The M6 is their first 2-nanometer chip. It has a 12-core CPU, a 12-core GPU, and a dual 16-core neural engine. But the M5 Ultra is the real monster. It uses this next-generation ultra-fusion technology to connect 4 dies together. We are talking up to a 36-core CPU, an 80-core GPU, and a massive 1.2 terabytes per second of unified memory bandwidth.
That memory bandwidth is the key phrase there. Apple is positioning the Mac Studio directly at AI researchers and developers who want to run frontier-class large language models locally. With up to 512 gigabytes of unified memory, you can load enormous open-weight models entirely on the device. No cloud costs, no token counting, and complete privacy.
And they even introduced clustering via Thunderbolt 5. You can string multiple Mac Studios together to share AI compute. It is wild to think about having a supercomputer cluster just sitting on your desk.
But you know what is hilarious about the Hacker News comments on these massive cutting-edge announcements?
Let me guess. Everyone talking about how they are still using their M1 MacBook Airs?
Exactly. The top comment thread, started by a user named Green Owl, is just a love fest for the 2020 M1 Air with 8 gigs of RAM. People are saying it's the best computer they have ever owned. It still feels as snappy as day one, and they have absolutely zero reason to upgrade.
It is the curse of making a product too good. The M1 was such a quantum leap over the Intel chips that for most developers, it completely solved the performance bottleneck. Unless you are doing heavy 3D rendering or running massive local LLMs, that M1 chip is still a beast. Though there were some complaints about planned obsolescence. A user named Harry8 pointed out that Apple sometimes drops support for older hardware in their new operating systems, like the upcoming macOS Tahoe, based on arbitrary metrics rather than actual hardware capabilities. Someone else mentioned they had to use the Golden Gate Beta to get their older machine running smoothly again.
Right, the classic Apple move. But another really interesting tangent in the Mac Studio thread was about the form factor itself. A user named Josh Strange asked if he should get a Mac Studio instead of a MacBook Pro that just lives on a dock, and this sparked a whole debate about the concept of the computer room.
Oh, I loved that thread. Paul Robinson wrote this great comment about how we make all these price and performance compromises just to have an attached screen and keyboard on a laptop. He remembered the days when you had to go to a special corner of the house to use the computer. Now we work on the sofa, on the train, balancing a laptop on our knees. He said he thinks he actually got more done when he had a dedicated computer room.
It is so true. The work from anywhere culture sometimes just means you are always at work. Having a desktop like the Mac Studio forces you to sit at a desk, get into a flow state, and then physically walk away when you are done. It is a really compelling argument for the desktop form factor in 2026, especially as remote work continues to blur the lines between home and the office.
Moving on to our next story, this one is a bit of a bummer for advocates of the open web. Nitter and Xcancel have received cease and desist notices. The GitHub issue for Nitter shows that all public instances are now rate limited and dead, and the repository was officially archived yesterday.
For those who might not know, Nitter was a free and open source alternative Twitter front end focused on privacy and performance. It allowed you to read Twitter, or X, without JavaScript, without ads, and most importantly, without an account. Xcancel did something similar, but now the door has been slammed shut.
The Hacker News crowd was pretty frustrated by this. A user named A Favor said it perfectly. Even putting all the political arguments aside, it just sucks when a site requires you to log in before you can read content on it. For a lot of people, this just means they won't read content on X anymore.
It is part of a much larger trend, which the comments really dug into. Waterluvian pointed out that Reddit is doing the exact same thing. They've been getting incredibly aggressive with their login pop-ups, letting you read for maybe 10 seconds before locking you out.
Yes, the inshittification of the web continues. People in the thread were talking about how old Reddit is now completely unusable without an account for many users. They are A/B testing these hard login walls. A user named MLMonkey had a great point about how Reddit seems to have let the AI data scraping demand go to their heads. They are banning alternate accounts, demanding email confirmations, all to build up these walled gardens of data so they can sell it to AI companies.
It is a sad state of affairs. We are losing that frictionless browsing experience that made the early internet so magical. If you want to read a thread, you have to hand over your data, your email, and your attention to the algorithm. The death of Nitter is just another nail in the coffin for the open web. People are retreating to private discords and smaller self-hosted communities because the big platforms are just becoming too hostile to casual readers.
Let us end on a lighter, or at least more creative note. Our final story is a piece called My Friend Aaron, posted on a personal blog by Rory McMeekin. It grabbed nearly 500 points and generated a ton of discussion.
This was such a fun read. It is a story about a guy named Aaron, the kind of guy who is incredibly smart but never applies himself academically. He gets obsessed with things like being top 6 in the world at World of Warcraft or trying to become a professional football player despite being out of shape. He has this wildly addictive personality.
The narrator talks about how Aaron gets deep into unregulated prediction markets, loses all his money, and then decides he wants to build his own prediction market exchange. He ropes the narrator, who is a programmer, into helping him. They go to hackathons together, and Aaron is constantly bringing up the simulation hypothesis, acting paranoid, asking if the narrator is a paid actor.
It is such a specific, vivid character study. But the best part about this post was the reaction on Hacker News. If you read the comments, almost everyone admits they were completely fooled into thinking it was a true story.
I know, even though it literally says this is a short story at the very top of the page. A user named XP84 said they read more than half of it thinking it was nonfiction. They were waiting for the punchline where Aaron turns out to be the founder of some billion-dollar company like Kalshi.
The writing is just so natural and engaging. And in the age of AI-generated content, people were just so relieved to read something that felt distinctly human. A user named Mistletoe called it direct, heartfelt, human, and real, the exact opposite of LLM output.
The author actually chimed into the thread. He said he submitted the story to a writing contest a few months back and never heard anything, so he just posted it on Hacker News on a punt. He said getting the front page of HN was 10 times the feeling any writing contest could give him.
That is what I love about this community. But the other big discussion point was the character of Aaron himself. John Makin pointed out that most of us in the tech world know an Aaron, that guy who is incessantly looking for a get-rich-quick scheme, spending exponentially more effort avoiding real employment than it would take to just get a job.
It sparked this whole philosophical debate in the comments. Is the Aaron mindset a toxic delusion, or is it the exact stubborn resilience you need to be a successful founder? Someone said, "Do not listen to the quitters. Go chase your dream." And then someone else replied, "That is terrible advice. Most people fail, and you need to know when to quit." It's that classic Silicon Valley tension between irrational optimism and brutal reality.
Absolutely. It is a fantastic piece of writing, and I highly recommend everyone go read it if you have a few minutes today. It really captures a specific type of personality that is so common in our industry.
Well, that is all we have time for today on HN Pod. Thank you so much for joining us for episode 499.
Yes, thank you for listening. Tomorrow is the big 500, so be sure to tune in. As always, you can find links to all the articles and discussions in our show notes.
Have a great day, keep hacking, and we will see you tomorrow.